Yeah, so currently at Tidy Lake, the draft limit is at 1280, and as I mentioned, that's 30 feet above the FERC limit and 20 feet above the previous limits that we've had instituted in the past. And at Swan Lake, it's currently at 280, which is also above what we've had in the past. So as I mentioned earlier, a recommendation of 277 for Swan Lake and 1270 Tidy. The 1270 at Tidy would still allocate or have contingency of 20 feet of water in the lake before we hit the FERC draft limit. And the 3 feet in Swan would still have 6.5 or 5.5 feet before we hit the FERC limit. That effectively will add about 4,000 megawatt hours of capacity for SEPA to make the turn.
Okay. Thank you. Questions or comments, or would one of the board members like to make a motion to make those changes?
This is Bob in Ketchikan.
Yes, Bob.
I'd move that we accept the recommendation of staff in regards to draft limit, Tidy being changed to from 1280 to 1270, and Swan changing from 280 to 277. For the purpose of avoiding diesel burn for the community.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. Is there a second?
Stephen Rangel, I'll session that.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Now, questions, comments from the board?
Chair, this is Jeremy. I have a quick question, and it's a point of clarification. Or need for clarification?
Okay, go ahead, Jeremy.
I just want to clarify that adjusting the draft limit specifically at Tidy will also draft the, or adjust the curtailment curve, or does that need to be a separate item?
Robert, I believe you want to address that question.
That's correct. Upon lowering the draft limit in Tidy, I will change the curtailment curve linearly, such that it is it reflects the 1270.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Jeremy. Other questions or comments from the board?
Mr. Chairman, this is Bob in Ketchikan.
Go ahead, Bob.
So these adjustments to the draft level, these are for this specific set of circumstances. After we pass through this, will they return to the original level?
Mr. Chair, this is Trey.
Yes, Trey, go ahead.
I guess I'll throw out here, Bob, that this is to get us through the turn. So as soon as we hit the turn, you know, we're going to have some robust inflows, and, you know, that'll carry us on into you know, kind of our quarterly reviews on where we're at. So, I mean, we could automatically change it back after the turn if that makes everybody feel better, but I think from a practicality standpoint, this changes to get us through the curve, or the turn, and then once the turn occurs, then we should have robust inflows into the lakes.
Okay. Thank you, Trey. Other comments? Hearing none, Sharon, would you please call the roll on the recommendation to change Tidy to 1270 and Swan to 277, I believe.
I will. Larson? Mr. Larson, thank you. Lynn?
Yes.
Prysanka?
Yes.
Amelon?
Yes.
Sievertson?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Motion passes unanimously, and we're ready then to move to item 8, which is the CEO report, and with that,
excuse me.
Point of order, Ms. Point of order, go ahead.
Yeah.
I was just going to mention, I think we still have another motion on the floor that Bob put out there to get the topic onto the floor.
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. I missed that one, but so Sharon, would you like to lay it out there?
Yes, that's where the motion was to discuss the draft limits as decided by the board. So I'll call the roll on that, Mr. Chair, if you're ready.
Thank you. I missed that. Thank you.
No problem.
Call the roll, please.
Lynn?
Yes.
Prysanka?
Yes.
Amelon?
Yes.
Sievertson?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Passes unanimously. Now, I was in a hurry, so I'm moving on here. Number eight, CEO report. Trey, would you like to summarize that for us, please?
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to keep it really short because you guys have a write-up in front of you. I just will note that, I think CEPA on the whole has been pretty proactive in our response to COVID-19. We've kind of been ahead of the curve, I think, almost every step. So I'm satisfied with what we've been doing so far and, protecting our employees and the communities as well. I will note one significant thing under governmental affairs with regard to SB 123. As you guys know, I've been working on this since last year and trying to get some language change in there so we didn't get sucked into the RCA. And that went through several machinations, and they folded in another bill into it and stuff. But at the end of the day, the language that we advocated for in that provided additional clarity did make it through, and as far as I know, it's sitting on the governor's desk waiting for signature. There was one other significant bill that is worth noting, and that was the SB 193. This is a pretty important bill that we've been advocating for on several fronts, and it is really a nationwide issue. It has to do with the civil liability with regard to vegetation management. And I talked to the board about that a fair amount. That came close to getting over the finish line, and then at the last minute somebody came in and applied an amendment that essentially gutted the bill. So I don't know if that's even going to make it to a vote now because it really ruined the bill. So there's more work to be done there, but it's something that's very important to all of our utilities. Member utilities and SEPA and utilities around the state and the nation. So still working on that really, really hard, and hopefully we can get some potential civil liability relief on that. One other item I'll just note.
And before you move on, Trey, I got a quick question.
So go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, regarding the trees that are outside of a right-of-way, does that mean that the landholders have any responsibility regarding those trees, or is it all just one way? Or I don't understand how that could be.
It's pretty one way at this point. If for some reason something falls on your line and the fire results of that, they're trying to claim you're liable for that. So that's what we're trying to get some clarification there. And Joel's probably got some more clarity because it's a big issue.
Yeah, Joel, go ahead.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. So just briefly, I mean, there's been some serious litigation around the country about that exact issue, Robert. And there's some court cases out of New Mexico that hold both distribution and generation transmission utilities responsible for fires that have been caused by trees falling on lines, and those trees are off right-of-way. So placing on the utility the obligation to not only, brush and clear materials on rights-of-way, but those adjacent. And so this is a pretty important bill, and, just given the prevalence of fires, it's just this unplanned liability, pretty bad.
Okay. Thank you, Joel. Does that answer your question, Robert?
That was sort of, and I was sort of thinking about you know, the liability not just with fires, but with other kinds of disruption issues regarding trees that are not, you know, we don't have any control over, but if there's an adjacent landowner has trees that, I mean, does he assume liabilities of some kind at all?
Well, so, Mr. Chair, if I could.
Yes, Chris. Come on, it's Joel. Okay, go ahead, Joel.
You know, I mean, it would depend. I mean, I think it requires a certain amount of vigilance on the part of the utility to, you know, kind of notify where you can. You have conflicts like that, but it's less than clear. I mean, obviously, I think we would take the position that a landowner that fails to clear their own, take responsibility for their own trees and the like coming onto our right of way, it's the lack of clarity that just invites concern.
So, Mr. Chair, I can give a real life example if you'd like.
Okay, go ahead, Trey.
So, a perfect example is our Ward Cove area, where we've had some large trees on the hill there that are outside of our right-of-way that slide down and have taken out the lines occasionally. So we've worked with those various landowners to go in there and help do some clearing. In these instances, you know, obviously we've paid for repairs when outages have occurred. We've paid for the clearing. Fortunately, at least those landowners have been open to and cooperative to mitigate some of that risk there for us. But you can see that if they were stubborn and really liked that particular tree on their project, on their property, and said, no, I don't want you to cut it down, then you kind of get into this gray area where Joel's talking about. Usually the person with the deepest pockets loses that one. So anyway, hopefully that gives you a little bit more context.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Craig. Again, are we okay then? Does that answer your question, Robert, as best we can?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. There was another question, I believe, that somebody had. Okay. Hearing none, go ahead.
So, Mr. Chair, yeah, I just had one last little comment on my report here, and then we'll move forward, trying to keep this to a minimum today. So one other thing I just wanted to highlight was under personnel. You know, before all this kind of went a little crazy on the COVID, I was looking forward to presenting to the board for a new position for an IT person slash kind of a communications engineer type folk. So with the current circumstances, I'm delaying bringing that forward, and we'll just kind of monitor how things go. It's not a good time to recruit people. You can't even get them to travel for interviews. And so I'm just going to put that off for a little while. I also had a comment in there that, you know, we were looking at filling our temporary brushing technician to help our brushing foreman do some clearing into so we could expedite our scheduled transmission line inspections and repairs. I've also delayed hiring that person. You know, I don't want to get somebody on the books and just have to pay them when they're sitting at home. So we'll reevaluate that as conditions change, and hopefully get that person on at the appropriate time so we can clear the trails necessary to get in and do our annual scheduled transmission line work, which we've essentially pushed that out into the fall now, and hopefully that's helped everybody else, including our member utilities, by delaying that work. That's all I've got.
All righty.
Any questions on my report?
Yes. Okay. Hearing none, I've got a couple questions for you, Craig, not totally related to your report, but when we were in Seattle, you took on a pretty heavy load of follow-up items on it. Can you give us an idea of what you've made progress or where you're at on some of those items?
So I've been working on the strategic plan with the facilitators, and we're polishing that up, and I anticipate to recirculate that to the board in the next few days, hopefully. And I'll just kind of reaffirm on some recommendations and feedback that the facilitators got to the board on other stuff I've circulated. Of course, the communications plan I've already kind of provided, I'll call it phase one of that, to the board. And then so a lot of the other stuff have longer lead times out there, and that's all specified in the strategic plan. So working on that stuff, that, you know, every bit of time that we can. But right now I'm trying to get the finalized part of the strategic plan done. And then kind of the next step is taking the action items that are identified in the strategic plan, and then putting together individual detailed work plans for each of those topics. And so I had some discussions yesterday with our facilitators, and they do have, I've asked them to provide a proposal to kind of put the bones of that together, and then I could further refine that. And then, of course, you know, that would all just kind of sets the roadmap on how you get to the end point on those particular items. You know, if there was some type of, you know, you got to hire a consultant, or you got to put an RFP out, you got to, you know, have the established budget, and then you go walk through all these processes that help you succeed on each of those identified items in the strategic plan.
Okay. Thank you. The second part of that question is that you have provided a kind of the first phase of that communications plan to the board. And I guess I would ask from the board's perspective, if you've got comments and so forth, I would suggest we get those back to Trey so that as he goes forward, that we can make whatever adjustments we need to. If there isn't any other questions for Trey, I'll move on to staff reports. And what I'm going to do is do it a little differently. I assume everybody has read them, and so I'm going to open it for the board to ask questions. Yes.
Chairman, it's Stephen Rangel. Could we please
go ahead. I think that would be an excellent idea, Steve. Let's take a 10-minute break. What time we got here? Let's come back at about 10:40 if we can.
Mr. Chair, could I ask to break you a little bit longer to accommodate folks that might need a little bit more time?
Okay, yes, you can. Let's go, can we go to 10, let's say 11 o'clock or 10:50, which would you prefer?
Mr. Chair and Mr. Prezanka, this is Lisa. I'm okay. I don't need extra time if you're worried about me. And but, I guess my question is if there are few comments or few questions from the board on these three reports, we might be done with the meeting.
Okay, and I'm fine with that. I just wanted to make sure we were taking you into consideration there, Lisa.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Okay. All right, now I'll follow through then on the reports, and I'm going to open that for questions. I'm going to assume everybody has read those reports from Ed and Robert and Clay. So with that, does the board have questions for any of the three people?
Mr. Chairman, this is Bob in Ketchikan.
Yes, Bob. Go ahead.
So I think this question is probably for Ed, and it's in regards to the review and clarification and updates of our O&M manual. And I know that we have people working on this, and it's much needed. But Ed, is this going to be given to us in a digital format, something that's established and not proprietary, and maybe something that's even searchable?
Yeah, Bob, this is Ed. Yeah, it's going to be in a Word document when we get done, so that we can go in at any time and make changes to the document and update it. Absolutely, it'll be on file on our D file on the server for everybody to access.
Thank you.
Is that it? Okay.
Sometimes we get these things and they come out in a format that's somewhat proprietary. I just want to make sure that wasn't the case here.
Yeah, absolutely is not. And I'd also add, just thinking more about the chair's question on making the live document out of the PM program. Do you remember about 6 or 7 months ago, we had training with all staff members that brought MapCon Tech in, and we went through thorough training, 3 days of each plant. So everybody is familiar with the MapCon program now and how to get in and keep it a living document.
Okay. Thank you, Ed. Other questions for... if nobody else has one, I have one for Ed. Right at the end of your report, under the Tahi Lake Gatehouse Hydraulic Power Unit, you make a statement in there that says effort underway is to retain all required critical parts and materials. What was your thinking? I'm not. It was out of context for me. What was the?
Oh yeah, sure. What I'm presently working on right now is getting bids for all the gate stems. So there's 18 gate stems that connect the lifting cylinder to the gate. And if you remember 2 years ago when we pulled that gate, we sandblasted those stems and they are all corroded. And we think it prudent at this time to replace those so that we don't have a failure of one of those stems, which would drop that gate and essentially shut the plant down for months if that was to occur. So I'm getting bids on those. All the bearings on the rollers, guide rollers for the gate are also compromised. The gates hadn't been pulled up and inspected, if you remember, for a never. So the bearings on all the rollers are bad, the seals, so I'm getting bids on all of those as well right now. We're also part of that project is taking the power unit, the hydraulic power unit, moving it from 200 feet below ground to above ground location so that it's operator friendly and can do maintenance on it. That particular HPU needs some components on it as well, so I'm tracking those down, getting those ordered so that the crew out at Tai can make the repairs to that. And then in addition, we got to now replumb that unit back down to the gate, which is going to take about 600 feet of tubing and fittings and all that to make that happen. So I'm getting all that stuff rounded up and have it on site when we award a contract to a contractor so that we're not relying on them to come up with the parts in a timely and correct parts for the project.
Good. Thank you. That answers my question, Ed. Anybody else have questions on the report? Okay, hearing none.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Bob, go ahead.
And it's not necessarily a question, but I think it should be noted in regard to the Tai battery bank and the fact that there's a statement there that says that using and performing this stuff in-house within the next 60 days is going to save the agency about $70,000, and I think that's noteworthy. So thank you, guys.
Yes, that's a good point, Bob. I saw that also, and we appreciate that. Okay. Well, the next item on there was the next meeting date. I assume Sharon will stick for now with the next meeting date.
Yes, that's what's proposed, Mr. Chair. If everything's back to normal, that the next meeting would be June 29th and 30th in Wrangell.
Okay. I don't know if the Wrangell people over there, are we going to have to all be spend 14 days there so we spend some money?
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you, Lisa. Now I'll move on then to director's comments. And I'm going to call it down the line here if I might. Steve, I'm going to start with you first on director's comments. And if anybody wants to address communications that we've talked about, anything we can improve or any ways we can improve the meetings, please chime in and and say so. Steve, go ahead.
Well, first of all, I want to thank Trey for keeping us informed. I really appreciated the increased communication and the sort of keeping us posted information, but also really appreciate the efforts to keep our workers as safe as possible during this time. It's tough for folks that are critical workers. They don't have the choice to sit at home and just isolate away, and so it's very important that we take care of them, and I appreciate Trey all that you've done. And then just wish everybody well as we move through this fairly troubling time for our cities and our nation and the world. So just encourage everybody to stay safe and stay well.
Good. Thank you, Steve. I'll move next to Robert Larson.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I miss seeing everybody in person, and I think there's lots of important work that gets done just because we can stand there in the hallway and visit. But I think this works, and we've done good work today and necessary work. But hopefully we don't make this a habit. It just worked fine for now, and I'm glad that we have a contract with Trey, so that's fine.
Okay. Thank you, Robert. I'll move next to Lisa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I echo the comments of the board members prior, and would just add that I appreciate Trey holding off and limiting any contractor work or delaying that. I actually sent him an email following our discussion there. As everybody is aware, it doesn't take very many people in our communities to overwhelm our healthcare facilities. And so having any additional people in our community has the potential to put further weight on what may be already stressed healthcare. And so holding off on any contractors being in the community is very helpful. So Trey, thank you for that from the member community. And I appreciate all that your staff is doing.
Okay. Thank you, Lisa. Bob, go to you next. Bob Severson.
Thank you, Bob. I'm also supportive of the comments that were made earlier, but as we go through this process, we know that there's going to be a huge economic impact on the community across the nation, but thinking about our local community, I think the endeavor to keep as much local hire and local business and local purchasing in the communities is paramount today, because I think that we're going to see the economic impact as we go through the coming months. So that's what I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Jeremy?
Yes, sir. I wanted to thank you for your time and effort on this, by the way, Mr. Chair. And I just want to say thank you and second Mr. Prasanka's comments about staff, keeping the board updated, and Trey and the staff doing a great job doing that. And thank you very much for that. Also coordinating with the member communities with the weekly operations call. I think that staff has done a phenomenal job with keeping the local communities up to date and making sure that we're keeping the power on for our communities during this crisis. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jeremy. Tor, I'll move to you next.
Yeah, I have the same thoughts as everyone else. I think, yeah, successful meeting for distance. I think it makes it more difficult, to have complicated conversations. But, yeah, I'm glad to have the CEO contract finalized. And, I think as Trey proved with that tiny battery bank, like that's a to do things in-house when you can, so I think he's proven that, those are good things to do. And, that's about it.
Thank you, Tor. Carl? All right. Are you still with us, Carl?
I am. Hey, Bob, Cliff's on here, too.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Let me go to Carl first here.
Just very briefly, good meeting. I'm sorry I missed the first part of it. Trey, I would reiterate the other board members'
comments, Bob. I'm glad you now have a contract in place. The other thing I would note, as I think the mayor alluded to a moment ago, all our communities are going to be in a period of, I think, some financial stress for an extended period of time, and I think the challenge that we're going to have as a board is balancing the needs of SEPA against the needs of the individual member communities. That's all I've got, Mr. Chair.
Good. Thank you, Carl. Cliff.
Yeah, sorry, I couldn't get on right away, so I got on about 4 minutes in the meeting and missed the roll call, but we got to listen to it. And like always, I just appreciate staff and the reports we get and how they're rolling the punches. I was just thinking that in the last 2 years, we've gone from having major drought changes operations plans to now a pandemic that kind of changes how we have meetings and the outlook for our communities. But I'm confident with this board, and especially with staff and trade leadership, that we're going to keep rolling forward. I'm grateful that we've got this contract approved for Trey, and we can try and push forward to the summer months. But everybody stay safe and stay healthy. Let's hope we have some kind of semi-profitable year in these communities.
Yep. Thank you, Cliff. And I'll finish it here. And I agree with all the comments that were made. We're going to have to, our communities, readjust, fees, and we were going out for a bonding. I think that's going to be canceled for a while. It's going to be times that we're going to be adjusting almost weekly to changes that's going on, and I see that happening at least through the fall. And I thank Trey for everything in the staff, for everything they've done to help keep us operational and do whatever we need to keep the cost down. And I appreciate also the increased communications, Trey and staff. It's really helpful. Sometimes you don't get any note back from me, but it doesn't mean I haven't read them and so forth. So please keep it up. And with that, I'd like to see a motion to adjourn.
This is Bob. So moved.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?